This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So we were talking during the break. and there's a diner that we absolutely have to check out. Now, Smalls and Rob just put me on it. It looks phenomenal. I can't wait to do it. But I feel like we got a little bit of breaking news.
What?
Because the menu at that diner doesn't look like it fits what Smalls supposed to be doing with 75 hard. So how is that working out?
So my diet is intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. So technically I can eat what I want as long as it's during my window.
Okay. So you're going to adjust your window on the day we go to said diner?
Yeah.
So it doesn't conflict with 75 hard?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Where did you get food poisoning? Because I'd like to go there. I need to lose a few.
I lost 10 pounds in 2 days.
Nah, you don't want to.
Walk me over
Evan,
there after the show.
Evan,
you don't want to lose that weight that way.
Look at me when I'm telling you this
I'm
and
looking.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Yes, boss.
I would rather be 10 pounds overweight for the rest of my life than ever endure what I did last week again.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying what you endured was good. I'm just saying I'd like the end result part of it.
I've only gained 2 back because we're still getting our sea legs back. It was the worst experience of my entire life.
So I picked up on something. Maybe it's just me trying to start some trouble. But Canty said that Michelle, myself, and Rob were talking about going to. Evan?
What?
So did they not invite you or you just said no? Like,
oh, no, I wasn't invited.
Okay. Let's just make sure.
Anybody could jump into the conversation.
Canty
mentioned himself, Michelle, and Rob.
I said Rob and Michelle put me onto it.
That's what he said.
Evan didn't tell me about this diner.
I told you about another diner,
to be fair. You told me about another place.
Near your house.
Yeah. You told me about another place.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys suggested a diner that was in Lower Manhattan.
Correct.
That we should look at after the show. So I said Rob and Smalls put me onto it.
Rob Cam? Do we see Rob Cam?
That was not to exclude our fearless leader, Evan Cohen.
I'm not first of all, I'm fearful of everything, and I'm not the leader. So, I mean, I'm actually the exact opposite of being a fearless leader.
So
I'm a fearful follower.
That's
what I am. That's what I'm trying to be around here, a fearful follower. That's what I am. Do we still have the Rob? Did we eliminate Rob Cam after one shot of Rob? I swear,
I think
our TV team
eliminated
the Rob Cam because we're referencing Rob, our social and digital guy. And we try to get him on camera.
I think he has a more official title than that, though, doesn't he?
Nah,
our social and digital guy.
What would you like to give him? Let's give him a title.
Do you have an official title?
Content creator.
Content creator.
But all of us
Rob
are that.
Lorenzo, huh?
All of us are kind of that, I guess.
No, he does it in a different way. Like, you can actually quantify what he does.
I call him our social guru.
I don't think there's an exact science to what we
social
do.
Social guru.
Social guru?
Yeah. Social
guru. Oh, we got the Rob Cam.
There's
there we
Rob
go.
Cam.
There we go. Rob Cam. Now, do we have a problem, by the way? Okay, now that we have a Rob Cam. So Rob is diehard Cleveland guy. Like, he's from the Cleveland area.
Midwest kid, yeah.
He's wearing a Yankee hat right now.
He's kind of like LeBron James, though.
Yeah,
that's
really
all brand
is.
For Cleveland sports fans, though.
Yeah. He lives in New York City.
LeBron James prides himself on being from a kid from Akron and supporting all of the local teams. But you can see LeBron James on any given day with a Yankees fitting on.
Yeah,
and so
right.
Rob is just adopting that. He's following the lead of LeBron.
All right, we will get back to Rob. Adam Schefter is going to join us now. Of course, always sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Adam. We always like to have fun with Adam around food. Somehow we've brought him into this. Schefter, in or out on diners? What's the diner order for Adam Schefter and family?
Eggs, always eggs. You can never go wrong with eggs at the diner. And I also think well-done French fries can't go wrong there instead of the hash browns. I think that's where we're at.
That's a great
diner.
Order. I'm in on that. I'm in on the Schefter order. Well done. All right, let's get to NFL news and notes here. Adam, tell us about the Dak Prescott contract. They reworked it. What does it mean for his future with the Cowboys?
It really means nothing to his future with the Dallas Cowboys. All it did was create a little bit of cap relief this year while leaving open the option of them redoing his deal. But the fact of the matter is the two sides have not had any significant, substantial discussions aimed towards getting the type of contract that would keep Dak in Dallas long term. And what's interesting about this is after this season, he is scheduled to become a free agent. And if they don't re-sign him, the dead cap money charge over 2 years, however they want to spread it out, would be about $95 million, if my math is correct. They can't tag him. They can't trade him. Dak has got all the leverage in the world here because of the way the contract has been set up and because it has been restructured at various points and because he played it right. And you just wonder, why was this not done, this contract extension done, before the new league year to create sufficient salary cap space to enable Dallas to go out and add a running back, which they really haven't done. They lost Pollard. They re-signed Rico Dowdle to fortify the roster. They haven't done that. And I know that Jerry Jones has talked about how they're all in and they're going for it. And that's right. They are all in and going for it. They're just not making any moves to go for it. They're no more all in for it than they are in any other year. Maybe less so, because they're hamstrung by the Dak contract that continues to be an issue. And I think it has to influence this season. It's already influenced their offseason, which will influence this season. And then you wonder how it will influence other seasons. Because if they were committed to keeping him, to me, they would have done it already, and they haven't. So now I think it's fair to wonder, what is their thinking? What direction are they going? You got Dak in the last year of his contract, Mike McCarthy in the last year of his contract, Mike Zimmer in the last year of his contract. And I know every one of these opportunities is precious for Jerry Jones, but the fact of the matter is you just wonder, is this the kind of season we give everybody 1 year, turn up the pressure on everybody, see how they respond, and then address it in the appropriate way after the year? Because that's the way it certainly looks right now.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Shefty. Are both parties content on going into the season with Dak potentially being a lame duck quarterback in the final year of his contract? Or is there a point in the calendar this offseason where we could see an escalation in these negotiations or a potential parting of ways between the two sides?
Well, you're not going to see a parting of the ways. I mean, they're going to be together because his contract is structured in a way that they have to keep him. And who are you going to get right now that's better than Dak Prescott? He led the league in touchdowns and completion percentage last year, I believe. Like, that's not happening. And you say, Chris, could we see a meeting of the minds and then get together and get this done? Well, maybe. But so far, there's been no indication of that. And let's just say they got the deal done today. Well, why did they wait till after the league year began, till all the free agents were off the market? So the window's closed. They missed it. Over. So they can do a deal any point they want, sure. But I don't know why they would have waited unless they aren't committed to keeping him. Which they're not going to say that, but the actions will tell you that.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense, Shefty, if we're just following the tea leaves here. But I guess my question is, to drill down on this, if the Dallas Cowboys don't want to give Dak Prescott an extension, and knowing that he holds all of the leverage after the season, could you see a situation where Dak Prescott, NBA player style, decides he wants out?
Well, I don't think Dak is the kind of guy that just says that. You know, he's not going to come out and say, I want out of Dallas. Because he's going to pour everything that he has into the season. But in a basic way, I'm going to guess, you have to wonder, like, okay, anybody in any line of work who's in the last year of their contract and their company hasn't come to them with anything, you wonder, do they want me? Okay, what does it look like on the other side? What are the other options? Like, there's no way that hasn't crossed Dak's mind. And he's never going to say something like that because it's not the way that he's wired and structured. But, like I said, it's only common sense to think that he's got to think, okay, well, you know, my time in Dallas might be coming to an end if they don't do anything.
Adam, in addition to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the Cleveland Browns added Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley to their quarterback room to back up Deshaun Watson. Is this them just acting out of an abundance of caution based on what happened last season? Or can we read into this at all about Deshaun Watson and that shoulder injury that he's recovering from?
You know, it's interesting because I've seen these quarterbacks. I think there's some questions about Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who was hurt last year, when he might be ready to go. I think that's fair to say. I think it's more a reflection of that than Deshaun. But, look, you know, Deshaun's got to play better, and they need him to be healthy. And that was not the case last year, and we've been waiting for him to play better. And we'll see if this is the year that he finally, you know, plays like the Deshaun that they believe that they were getting when they traded for him. And you have the guys. Look, you need quality backups in this league. There were 66 different starting quarterbacks last year. Everybody goes through them. So I think they're just covering themselves and giving themselves some options and flexibility there by adding Jameis Winston and by adding Tyler Huntley.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, brought to us by BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Adam for more information. Adam, is Steph Diggs available?
I don't think the Buffalo Bills are shopping him. I don't believe that to be the case at all. Clearly, he keeps sending up smoke signals about his mood, his level of happiness, whatever it may be. Do I think the Buffalo is looking to deal him? I do not. Do I think that if some team blew off their doors that they would have to listen? Sure, I would think that would be the case. But to my knowledge, that hasn't happened just yet. It's the kind of thing that's been out there, it feels like, for a couple of years. Nothing has ever happened. There's no sign that it'll happen yet, but it's the kind of thing where, again, he keeps sending up little flares that he doesn't seem to be particularly pleased there.
Shefty, on Friday, we saw the Minnesota Vikings give up a couple of second-round picks in order to gain an additional first-round pick this year. They now have 11-23, and presumably this is about trying to get inside of the top 10 to draft a quarterback. I'm curious from your perspective, who do you think the likely trade partner is for the Minnesota Vikings in order to get a shot to get one of those top quarterbacks in this year's class?
It's a hard question to answer for a couple of reasons, Chris. I would say this, that, again, a lot depends on what Washington does it to. Let's just say hypothetically that the Vikings love Jaden Daniels, and for some reason Washington at two goes Drake May, and all of a sudden the guy, the quarterback that Vikings love is there at three. Well, maybe they're willing to up the price that it would take to get to three. Maybe there's a guy that they feel like they have to have, and they would try to trade up to Arizona at four or the Chargers at five to jump the Giants, who have made some quarterback noise, who could potentially be in the quarterback market. Nobody really knows for sure. If that comes and goes and their guy's still there, maybe right after that, because there's a group of teams that need quarterback. Like, there's layers to this. And it's a hard thing to answer now because it's a fluid process, and you have to see how the quarterback starts sliding and what other teams are doing. But, I mean, you don't have two first-round picks without the idea of not being poised to not move up in the draft. Like, the Vikings are now in prime position to move up if that's what they decide that they want to do. It just depends, I think, on how they read other teams' interests and how the quarterbacks start falling off the board. There's a lot of variables that play into it that I think are a little bit difficult to spell out on March 19th, other than to say the Vikings are in prime position to do what they want to do.
Adam, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
All right, there is Adam Schefter. Of course, get his podcast wherever podcasts are available, and his appearance is always sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off of your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/Adam. A lot to digest there, specifically on the Cowboys. He just said that there's an argument that maybe they've gone less all-in this year than actually ever before, while providing us the mantra of, we're going all in. We'll revisit that coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Remember moments ago when Nuno, our producer, asked if I was invited to the big lunch that everybody was having?
Did they go already?
Yeah, well, they may have gone. Get it. Look at this. Look at this. I'm by myself. Oh, hi. It's nice to have you, Smalls. Welcome back. Did you guys go to the diner already? Is that what happened here? Just everybody ditching me?
Wow.
Clock integrity.
We did.
I'm here. Don't put that on me.
No, it's not your fault. I'm saying you got there on time. The drums hit, but you got there on time.
How late was I? 30 seconds?
And I was in like a deep, serious conversation with somebody here. And then I'm like, all right, I got to get back in. And so I'm here.
That was a short break.
It's the same amount of time every day.
It's the shortest break of the show, and you guys all left.
Oh, this is the shortest break of the show?
And, like, Canty left, like, probably halfway into the break. We were arguing about the, like, how arrogant Yankee fans are, and then...
Where did that come from? Because of Rob's hat?
Pat was not happy with that. But there was, you know, Blake Snell finally signing with the Giants.
Yankee fans allegedly, are not happy?
Well, yeah, but allegedly there was an offer on the table a month ago that the Yankees pulled. Who knows if that's true or not. And Pat's like, I wouldn't want to play for the freaking Yankees. I said freaking, but he didn't.
Like, well, 2 years, it's weird because you sit there and you're waiting all along, if you're Scott Boras with Snell, for this huge offer. He's a two-time Cy Young Award winner, and you get a two-year, $62 million deal, which for all of us as everyday people is an insane amount of money that we will not see in our lifetime. Well, Smalls and I will not see in our lifetime.
Stop it.
And nice of you to join us. And the offer that they got is like, that's it? That's what you're waiting this entire time for? When all these baseball contracts are like 10 years for $700 million? So I was surprised by that. Now, let's get back to Schefter and what he told us here. What a fascinating conversation we just had with Adam Schefter, brought to us by BetterHelp, because he said flat out there is an argument, and obviously this is opinion-based because I don't know how you would judge this based on the terminology all in, that when the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones tell you they're going all in, Shefty just told us there's an argument that they went less all in this year so far than years past.
But doesn't it feel like that way?
Yes, but isn't that amazing to think about?
What, that they would be telling us one thing and that reality would be another?
Well, and that he flat out said the window has closed for the Dak contract extension. Not that they couldn't still do it, but the window is closed for it mattering for this year.
I disagree with that.
Well, that's what he said.
I disagree with that. I mean, he can say that, but I mean, there's still opportunities to make veteran player trades. Like, you can still lower Dak's cap hit by giving him a contract extension and then trade future assets in order to bring over a veteran player that might have a higher cap number. So, in essence, it's pre-free agency. And we see that all the time in the NBA. And it's starting to become increasingly the way of the world when it comes to NFL teams that are trying to go all in on their current championship window. So there's still some time for Dallas to make some moves. We usually see two windows for players to be traded, veterans that are trying to work out contract extensions or get brand new contracts. It happens at the beginning of the league year, and it happens right around draft time. If you think about the Dallas Cowboys last year, that's when they made the Stephon Gilmore trade and bringing him over from the Indianapolis Colts. So I think there's still the possibility that Dallas could be players. It's just not a matter of free agency as much as it is maybe pre-free agency with a veteran player on a team that might not be a contender wanting to get traded and get in a new contract.
But either way, why wouldn't you get that extension done prior to free agency so you could be in the best position to attack it if you so chose?
Because they don't want him.
That's the only conclusion that I can come to, but I also can't understand why that would be.
Let me rephrase. They don't want him at his going rate. Because I think that they would, if he wants to make Russell Wilson's salary, they'll take him, right? If he wants to make $30 million a year, they'd take him. If he wants to make maybe $40 million a year, They'd probably take
if he wants to make $50 million a year,
probably
that deal gets done.
And I don't know who the Atlanta – we have to look at the salary cap sheet. I don't know who it is next year. Whatever version of the Atlanta Falcons are next year, the team that is that thinks they're a quarterback away, veteran quarterback away from really winning
– Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh could be that. I think New Orleans should be in the mix on that.
Seattle maybe.
Maybe Denver. Yeah. Maybe Denver runs it back and tries to get a big quarterback. So there, we just created a market right then and there that will all pay him $60 million a year because he'll be going 31 years old.
The New York Jets.
The New York Giants.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, there are teams that are out there that are going to be in the market for a quarterback. Like, listen, there aren't too many teams that are going to balk at having a chance to getting a top 10 quarterback, especially when it costs you is money. It's not like it will cost you a draft pick because Dak will be a free agent. So it'll just cost you money. So there'll be plenty of teams that be lined up to throw the bag at Dak Prescott. So if Jerry Jones don't want to give him his money, well, guess what? Dak's going to walk, and he's going to have no shortage of suitors. Meanwhile, what are you going to do if you're the Dallas Cowboys? That's why I still think that this deal gets done at some point this offseason, but I guess the reason why it didn't get done earlier is because Dak had seemingly more leverage knowing that the Cowboys wanted to get something done before the start of the new league year in free agency.
I'm now starting to believe it's not getting done. I really don't see it. And I've said all along, I think Dak asks out at some point this offseason. I may walk that back a little bit because now I'm starting to believe he doesn't want to get it done. Because if they're not offering the numbers that he's offering, he is going to easily bet on himself because even if he never plays another down of football after this season, he has set for life money.
Yeah.
He's making $60 million this year. 34, I think, in cash or whatever it
34
is.
34 in cash,
right.
$60 million
he has
cash,
set for generational money just off of this year alone.
And this is somebody who we know has the stomach to bet on himself because he's done it before.
And he's been in the league for 9 or 10 years, whatever it is. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars. He is good off the field in terms of endorsements. He has generational wealth. He can bet on himself.
But just because you've bet on yourself before doesn't mean you have the appetite to do it again. Like the last time Dak was betting on himself, that was in his mid-20s. You sure you want to do that now when you're on the wrong side of 30? Like, are you sure you really want to go down that road?
Looking at what Kirk Cousins got, I think I feel good about it.
And yeah, I guess you could, but I mean, why would you if you don't have to is the whole point of it all. Like, Kirk Cousins was in a position where he had to. Like, the Minnesota Vikings didn't want to give him the bag, knowing that he's 35 years old and he's coming off of an Achilles injury. But if you're Dak Prescott, you just had the best season of your pro career. Why should you have to play out the string before you get your next contract?
I think we're overrating the Dallas Cowboys quarterback as a position. And what I mean by that is I got into this argument with Hembo on Greeny yesterday, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern. He said, well, nobody voluntarily leaves the Cowboys quarterback position. I said, you're right. We haven't seen that, right? And I said, it's like the Lakers, the center with the Lakers. Will Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. After their careers were done with the Lakers, they didn't play for another team. They ended their career with the Lakers, like, to his point. But then Shaq came along. And you know what he did? He left the Lakers at some point. It's not – just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it can't happen. I don't think Dak is as attracted to playing for the Dallas Cowboys as everyone else thinks he is. I don't think it's impossible that Dak just says, cool, you're going to pay me $60 million this year, and I'm going to test the market next year. And you're going to have a chance to compete with those teams that we just mentioned. And if you want to beat their offer, go ahead. If not, I'll play somewhere else. I don't think it's like I have to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Plus, we have been told by Dak – he likes his coach. And guess what? His coach ain't necessarily going to be there next year.
Yeah.
What's so attractive about playing for the Dallas Cowboys if you're Dak Prescott after this year?
The visibility.
Okay, well, it's the NFL.
But there are levels to this. It's the most valuable sports franchise on the planet. And you are the most important figure in that franchise, other than Jerry.
Being good at that position there is different than anywhere else.
No doubt. No doubt.
Doesn't mean he wants to necessarily stay. You guys are right.
Ain't no Sleep Number commercial unless he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. When you got your brother and other family members in soup commercials, you don't get that by playing quarterback at other places. You get that for playing quarterback at the Dallas Cowboys.
We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number 5 to number 1.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Talking about my all-time top 5 scariest moments dating. But anyway, I digress.
Which is a better list.
Yeah. Wait, is that a possibility for a list?
No. We can't do that list.
You have five
I think you guys would be very judgmental of the things that I would come up with.
I have one follow-up. You just brought it up. I got to ask. So you have five moments in your years ago dating career that could make up a top five scariest dating moments?
He's a professional athlete.
Yeah, we got plenty. We got plenty of ammunition, bro. Plenty of that.
It's been some scary hours
back in my 20s and early 30s. Scary hours. But I digress. The list that we're doing right now, the power rankings for right now, are the teams that are closest to winning their first title. So he is Evan Cohen. She is Michelle Smallman. I am Chris Canty. This is Unsportsmanlike. Again, my top five teams closest to winning their first title. Let's get this thing kicked off, Jovante.
Number 5.
The Phoenix Suns. Now, the Phoenix Suns are tied for the 4th best odds in the Western Conference of winning the NBA title. I don't think they're actually close, but when you have KD, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, you can't dismiss them. They got so much firepower on the offensive end, it's hard to ignore them. They got Yusuf Nurkic, who is a rebounding machine. It feels like every other game this guy is rebounding, getting 20 boards. I mean, Grayson Allen is leading the league in 3-point percentage. Like, he's been phenomenal in terms of being able to knock it down from deep. So I like the elements that they have, but they just don't play defense. And in order to win a title, you got to have the ability to stop some people, especially the better teams once we get to the postseason. The Phoenix Suns haven't shown the appetite to do that. Could that change? Maybe. But based on the sample size the last year and a half, I don't think it will. But nonetheless, the Phoenix Suns make the list. They're the 5th when it comes to the teams that are closest to winning their first title.
I'd be shocked. Shocked if they won the title this year. I love Kevin Durant, but it's hard to imagine them winning a title in that conference. Or coming out of that conference, I should say.
It is, but here's the thing. It is Kevin Durant. It is a top 20 player of all time who is still in the twilight of his prime. I just can't take it off the board. He's still Kevin Durant. Y'all know who he is. Next.
Number 4.
The LA Clippers, they've been getting clipped lately, not playing very well. But here's the thing. Maybe there's something to be said for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George dialing it back a little bit right now just to gear up for the playoffs. This is a group that knows that they're going to be a top 6 team. I don't know that the seeding matters all that much when it comes to that, who they look at as a team that they would be scared of, because – quite literally, you shouldn't be scared of anybody except for the Denver Nuggets. So, I mean, if you're the LA Clippers, as long as you don't have to worry about facing the Denver Nuggets in round one, then you're a team that's going to be fine. And I think they pretty much ensure that that's not going to be the case. So the LA Clippers, I think they're a team, when you have Kawhi Leonard, who is arguably one of the best two-way players in the NBA, when you have Paul George, when you have James Harden, who can orchestrate things, and most importantly, when you have Ty Lue, one of the very best coaches, you're always going to have a shot. The LA Clippers have the 2nd shortest odds of anybody in the Western Conference to win the NBA Finals, so the LA Clippers are checking in at 4th on my list.
I'm losing faith. I picked them to win a title.
You did.
When Paul George is coming out and saying, we don't have an identity when we're in March, you don't have much time left. Just saying.
Yeah, you shouldn't be losing to the Atlanta Hawks. And it's not like you should not be losing to the Atlanta Hawks.
And it's not like they have the track record of success, right? If like, all right, Milwaukee doesn't have an identity, let's just say. They won a championship a couple of years ago. Like, they can flip a switch.
You'll give them the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to say Miami, so I substituted another team in there. Go ahead.
But you know what, Ev? You did say something about Kawhi Leonard. You can say there are players that are equal to him in the postseason. You can't say there's anybody that's better than
him in the postseason. Yes. Yeah. That's key. And that includes LeBron.
Does that include Jokic?
Yes, because Jokic has had bad... Like, Jokic against Denver a few years ago was a... against Golden State.
Yeah.
They weren't good.
Yeah, but he's a different player, especially on the defensive end of the court. Like, Jokic is an absolute monster. Like, that game winner that Kyrie hit, like, listen, Kyrie was forced to shoot a left-handed running hook shot. Do you know who was defending him? Nikola Jokic! Like, Nikola Jokic! And Kyrie couldn't get the shot that he was actually looking for. Now, he buried the shot that he made. The degree of difficulty was insane. I'm just saying, Nikola Jokic is a different player, especially on the defensive end, which is why I think the Nuggets are a different team the last couple of years. But I digress. We are going through my top five teams closest to winning their first championship across all sports. Jovante, if you will.
Number three.
The Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, I get it. They had a lot of attrition on the defensive side of the ball. Guys injured, guys defecting. They moved on from Trey White. They moved on from Jordan Poyer. They made Von Miller rework his contract. DJ Jones was banged up last year. But you know what? I saw something in the late regular season and on into the postseason, and it was them forming an identity around the running game. James Cook in that Buffalo Bills rushing attack had 39 rush attempts against the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round. I mean, you ran the ball damn near 40 times in a win-or-go-home scenario. That tells me that you're willing to trust the run game and you're going to limit the opportunities for turnover-worthy plays from Josh Allen. But what that also does in running the football that way, by dictating the complexion of the game, controlling time of possession, you protect the defense. That is going to be a work in progress, at least early on in 2024. Right now, the Buffalo Bills have the third shortest odds to win the Super Bowl next year. So I like where this team is at, especially if they lean into that identity on the offensive side of the ball, running the football for the remainder of the offseason.
I love that shift in offensive identity. If they were continuing to go that way, I think it would pay dividends for them. I always think about the Buffalo Bills. If Kansas City wasn't in the mix, we'd have them as a Super Bowl favorite in the AFC. If they were in the NFC, we'd have them as a Super Bowl favorite. Yeah. It really is just the Kansas City Chiefs as that obstacle for them to overcome.
No doubt about it, but that's an obstacle for everybody to overcome in the NFL, apparently. Next!
Number two.
The Minnesota Timberwolves, that dude Ant-Man, he coming. Like Deion Sanders used to say, he coming. He coming. I mean, and John Collins found out when he's going, you might want to get the hell out of his way. But you might want to, when he hits that launch pad in the middle of the lane, bruh, don't try to dunk. Don't try to jump. Don't try to contest the dunk. It's not going to work out well for you. And again, I'm not sure how many NBA bigs have to find this out the hard way, because you could put that on a loop with all the other highlight dunks that Anthony Edwards had. I mean, the guy is just an absolute monster, but don't let that get in the way of realizing that he's a complete player. When it comes to the mid-range game, when it comes to knocking it down from deep, when it comes to the mid-post, low-post, this guy can do it all. I mean, but the thing that separates him from a lot of young stars in the NBA is his tenacity on the defensive end. Like, he's the one that's leading the charge with Rudy Gobert on the defensive end. He sets the tone, that level of intensity. Last night, the T-Wolves against the Jazz had 27 points off of 17 turnovers. And a big part of that is the pressure that Anthony Edwards applies on backcourt players. So, I mean, this guy, I mean, a couple weeks ago, he won a game with a block when he pinned the guy at the rim. Like, it's just unbelievable what he's capable of doing. And again, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves have a chance to challenge in the Western Conference playoffs because they have the future face of the league in Anthony Edwards. But there can only be one number one on my list for the
number
teams
one
that are closest to winning their first championship. It has to be the Detroit Lions. They were suspect on defense last year. They got better on defense. But I think the biggest improvement from this team is going to come with the maturity of their coaching staff, particularly Dan Campbell. We saw it got unraveled in the conference championship game. With those decisions to go for it on fourth down, probably should have settled for a couple of field goals in there. The complexion of the game would have been a little bit different. But I do think that that will be a learning experience, and the Lions will be all the better for it. Fully expect them to be back in the conference championship game in 2024. So that is the list, Smalls. The Detroit Lions, number one. followed by the T-Wolves, Bills, Clippers, Suns as teams closest to winning their first title. You are my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions?
The only one that I see missing from the list, CC, is the Cincinnati Bengals. They were 9-8 without Joe Burrow last year, a healthy Burrow returning. To me, they're always a threat to win a championship as long as that guy's out on the field.
You know what? And I feel you on that, and I wanted to put the Bengals on the list. I absolutely wanted to put them on the list over the Phoenix Suns and probably over the LA Clippers. The one thing that gives me pause is the health of Joe Burrow. It gives me pause.
You can't guarantee it.
Two of the four seasons that we've seen him in the NFL have been cut short due to injury. I get concerned about the pattern. Now maybe it's just bad luck. I mean, there's no doubt Joe Burrow is an amazing player. I think he's one of the few elite quarterbacks. I would probably put him second to only Patrick Mahomes in the National Football League. I just don't trust that he's going to be able to stay healthy for them to go on a run back to the Super Bowl and win it.
Coming up, America's analyst Tim Legler will join us next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tim Legler is here. He analyzes everything, including the NBA.
That's right.
All right, let's have you do this.
Yeah.
We've been telling everybody today, we're taking calls on this at 888-SAY-ESPN, the go-to meal that our families made growing up. Like in the Legler household, if we went there back in the day, any member of your family, what was the go-to meal that the Leglers made growing up?
My mom was big on the pot roast and like meatloaf, like that kind of stuff. Now, if that's where she would go. And it was funny because I hated meat when I was like younger. I would fake it because they wouldn't let me up from the table, stick it in the back of my mouth, suck all the juice out. And then when I was going to bed, they're pulling meat out of like the back of my mouth.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I swear.
You keep it in there the whole time?
It was just weird. Yes,
I would like store it? Because I couldn't get up from storage.
Yeah, basically storing it like a squirrel. Like I couldn't get up from the table, so I ate it. So I would just kind of hide it back there in my mouth. And then they'd be picking it out later on. So, I've gone full circle on that.
Yeah.
Big red meat guy. Give me that.
I respect the commitment. It would be easier to just chew it and swallow it, but to store it in there for hours.
Sometimes I forget it was in there. I forgot it was in there. It was in there so long. Like, oh, thanks for getting that out. I was wondering what that was.
Legs actually has a burger in his mouth from when he was 8. Right. It's still in there right now.
I got a little bit of a breakfast sandwich.
All right, let's ask you about last night. Ant-Man, obviously amazing dunk. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Finish the sentence. Anthony Edwards is?
An ascending superstar, but he's not there yet, but he's on his way. And look, that's one play. And I know, obviously, it's eye candy. We're going to jump all over it. There are still some things that he's trying to get to, right, with his polish and his decision-making in pressure situations. But he's on his way, and that's a big reason right there because athletically, in a league full of great athletes, then you have Anthony Edwards that can do things like this. And so, you know, he reminds you of the potential greatness on plays like this, and he's an ascending star, but he's not quite there yet.
So, Legs, help us make heads or tails of the other teams in the Western Conference not named the Denver Nuggets in terms of who can be a true challenger to get to the NBA Finals. Who is it? I mean, because there's that three-way logjam at the top with two young up-and-coming teams in OKC and Minnesota, but then you have the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Kings, and then half game behind them, the Mavs and the Phoenix Suns and then the Lakers and Golden State rounding out the play-in. Like, who are the true contenders, the true challengers to the Denver Nuggets in the West as we gear up for the playoffs?
We could do something really fun. I could take all those other teams besides Denver and put them in a hat right now and just pick out a name out of the hat, and I could make a really strong argument for why this is the team that'll play the Nuggets in the conference finals, and I'll also make a really strong argument why they're not going to be the team. Because the inconsistency with all of those teams. Mm. I've got my eye on Dallas. That's a team I really believe could possibly get there if they can avoid Denver. If they can just avoid Denver, it's the same for any of those teams. Avoid Denver until you have to play them in the conference finals. You can make a case for the Clippers, you know, but right now they're obviously in a free fall. They're in a nosedive, and I worry about their sustainability. Just physically, are they going to be able to drag that through 2 months or 6 weeks to get to the Denver Nuggets? That's why I think Dallas, for me, with the acquisitions and the fact that you've got Luka Doncic, who can control a game unlike any other player in the NBA, with the exception maybe of Jokic, that's why I've still got my eye on them. I know they hit a little bit of a rough patch recently, but they've turned it around now, and that was a statement win against Denver because Denver was all in on that game on Sunday, and the Dallas Mavericks were able to pull that out with a ridiculous Kyrie Irving shot at the end. But the fact that they battled them at that pace and won the game is a great sign for the Dallas Mavericks.
So even if it's defense optional for Dallas?
It is, but it's like, again, it's inconsistent. There are nights I watch them and the effort is there. And I think now with Lively and Gafford, like they've got those bouncy legs in the middle that can give you that last line of defense. And then you've just got these two superstar talents offensively and primarily Luka, and the way that he is just dictating how that's going to go. No matchup phases him, no scheme phases him, pressure obviously doesn't phase him. So I'm kind of giving them right now the benefit of the doubt. And again, just stay out of Denver's side of the bracket. That's the key. And same thing in East with Boston. Just stay out of their bracket and you have a chance. All those teams, you have a chance. Three or four teams I can make an argument for while they'll end up playing the Celtics in the conference finals.
Is there one of those teams out of that group? Is it Dallas that you think is best equipped to beat Denver?
I don't know that anybody. I think it's Denver on a tier by themselves.
Yes.
Even though they're bunched together, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the year Oklahoma City has had. I just don't know that you're going to see them be able to deal with Jokic in a seven-game series to that extent. Mm-hmm. So I think they're on a shelf by themselves, and then it's a bunch of teams trying to vying for the most believability. And for me, I would go with Dallas right now, even though they're sitting in sixth, seventh, whatever they are right now. Mm-hmm. That seems like a big leap to people, but it's really not. When you look at Minnesota dealing without Kat, the Clippers in a free fall, the Phoenix Suns I've pretty much just about quit on based on what they did on Sunday. You give up 140 points to a team without Giannis Antetokounmpo. They had no interest in playing basketball on Sunday. And it was the most shocking thing to watch, that level of apathy in a game that's important to you when they're not playing with their best player, to give up 140 points and 24
made
threes.
They gave up 25 points to Bobby Portis in the first half.
Yeah, 24 made threes to a team, missing the guy that draws all of the, you know, the defenders to create the open threes, and they still hit 24. So Phoenix is a mess right now. That's why I'm looking at Dallas. And Oklahoma City, I'm not going to dismiss them because they deserve it. They've been consistent. They've been healthy. Mm-hmm. They've got great continuity in their starting five.
We're talking with Tim Legler, who has baby back ribs stuck in his teeth currently from 9 years old. Here on Unsportsmanlike. All right, question/theory on something. We've asked for years, why have the Boston Celtics not gotten over the hump? I'm thinking about something. Have we looked at Tatum and Brown backwards? Is Brown really the one and Tatum the number two?
Well, it's interesting. This would be the first time that you can, I think, legitimately raise that question. Like, whose team is it right now? If I asked you, there's 30 teams in the NBA, and we all would probably be in the same boat. If I just said a team name, you would immediately, and I said, who's their best player? You'd immediately have a name. And we'd all probably agree on that. Mm-hmm. And it's always been Tatum. And I'm not saying that Jaylen Brown is a better player, but what I am saying is he is playing the best basketball of his career. And because of the way he looks, I think that is a huge benefit to Jason Tatum, that he is not going to be the guy that everything is laid in his lap when we evaluate them game by game. And that's what's happened to him. And we're still thinking about the finals performance against Golden State. When Jaylen Brown looks like this, you believe that, hey, Jason Tatum maybe doesn't have to be spectacular for them to still get by and still win a title, and it's because of the emergence of Jaylen Brown. He has tightened up his game in so many ways, and I think he's outscored him over the last 5 weeks. Yeah. He's been their leading scorer. So I think it's a legitimate question for the first time that you could say that, and it's just a great thing for Tatum. He doesn't have as much pressure on him.
But what does that tell you about Jason Tatum? Because when we do that exercise and we say the best player on the team, we would likely go there with Jason Tatum. But if we're saying that they could have success without him being the guy that is the one that propels them there, what does that tell you about him?
Yeah, look, I think it tells you that there are still people that are going to doubt whether he can, you know, do it time and time again under pressure. And as great as he has been, and by the way, I love Jason Tatum, all the way he carries himself. He represents all the great things. But that is still out there for him. And that's the one bell to answer. And I think for him, unfortunately, to really be cemented, you know, in terms of legacy and even like now, the food chain in the league,
yeah,
he not only needs to win a championship, I do think he needs to be the best player to have that. Doesn't mean that he has to be for them to win it, but for him personally and the way he is viewed, I think he needs to ring that bell also. Like, I was clearly the best player in the NBA Finals and we won a championship. I think then he's basically untouchable from that point. He's beyond reproach at that point if he can do that. But if he gets outplayed by Jaylen Brown in the NBA Finals, even if they win it, I think that's still that one thing that's lingering for Jason Tatum to go get and go grab.
Legs, I want to shift gears a little bit with you. We got Mel Kiper Jr., our draft expert, coming on next to drop his mock draft 2.0. Your Commanders have the second overall pick. Who do you want him to take?
Why would you not call me an NFL draft expert? I mean, I think you're not. Listen, I'm
you're
all
Commanders expert.
Name one non-quarterback. Go ahead. Name one non-quarterback in the NFL
Brock
draft.
Bowers. Boom.
Nailed it.
I don't care what I got stuck in the back of my head. I still know that.
You got facts back there.
I was all about Drake May, and I'm hearing is Jaden Daniels all of a sudden. It was Drake May for a long time. Now it's Jaden Daniels. Every mock draft I'm looking at has Jaden Daniels, and I'm not thrilled about that.
Yeah, I'm a Drake May guy, too.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm a Drake May guy, too. So.
Listen to Hasselbeck 5 minutes ago. I was over and get up. Listen to him talk about Drake May. It's like I feel like I got to somehow figure out a way to make this happen. He says this is the guy.
He's got a campaign.
I gotta talk to Bob Myers. You work with Bob Myers.
I'm in D.C. every week. I should probably shoot over there, have a conversation with Adam Peters.
Need to get an audience with
I got some ideas. You guys want to run some stuff by you or what?
A little think tank.
Yeah.
Can we get
you a college basketball head coaching job before we worry about
Please, that would be nice. That would be nice. They know where to find me.
Hire him. You know what? How much time do we have, by the way? 30 seconds?
30
okay,
seconds.
I'm going to do this. You don't say anything. College basketball, D1 programs out there. This man knows more about basketball than anyone out there. He would be great with your boosters, your alumni, your faculty, as well as all of the student athletes and their parents. He knows how to do the NIL. He's got all the ESPN people want to donate and campaign for him. Hire Tim Legler to be your college basketball coach, people out there. And Washington Commanders, don't hire him to be a scout. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
You're not getting a cut if I get a job.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.